First, we say thank you to these musicians. Thank you, all of you, so much. Choir, thank you. Thank you for coming to back to us after Disneyland, after your Disneyland appearance. And wouldn't it be nice to have this again next week? It would be wonderful. I'm sorry everyone has to go on vacation next week. Remember the time when. Remember the time when. For my husband and myself, we only have to say that line. Maybe in your family, you have a lot of these stories stacked up. Remember the time when, and when we are driving on the I-5 north towards God's country, and we get close to the Oregon border, we don't even have to say the line, remember the time when. We'll be passing Lake Shasta, Mount Shasta area, this glorious, beautiful scene here. We get close to that Mount Shasta region just before the climb up the Siskiyou Mountain Range, the mountain pass. We look at each other, remember the time. That's all we have to say. Because one time, driving on the I-5 north towards Portland at Christmas time, when the Siskiyous look a little more like this, they don't look this beautiful, they look more like this. And when it's about the 20-something outside and the visibility is, this is good visibility in the mountain range. Remember the time when we got up climbing up the Siskiyou Mountain Range and someone needed a potty break. It was not me. It was not the other adult in the car. It was the 2-year-old in the back seat. So we pulled over. What are your options? We pulled over and we pulled out the little seat for toddlers who are learning because she had her seat all packed and in the car, 2 years old. We set up the seat by the side of the road, got her all ready, tried to put her on her little seat and her legs began to fly. No, I don't want to. We look at each other, well, do you have to go? Yeah, but no, because there are cars going by. They can see me. Oh, there's car. So we move the little potty seat off a little ways over here. No, it's cold. So someone carries said child out into the snow drifts, 3-4 feet of snow drift. Someone's, it's not me, it's the father, carrying the child. You can imagine her little pants bundled around her ankles and her legs straight out like this because she's gotta go. And so he walks off into the snow drift behind the trees. Because the trucks are out there and they can see her. So he's holding her over the snow and says, okay, no! Remember the time when, all we have to do is drive the Siskiyous. We get close to Mount Shasta, we're like, I know what you're thinking, I know what you're thinking. She actually gets back to the car after she finally did what she needed to do. She comes back to the car, I said, what was the problem? And she says, I just want to go home and use my own potty. Remember the time? Life is actually a collection of such scenes, isn't it? Remember the time when. You don't even have to get up out of your chair to fill your mind with the scenes in life, and this is what the Christmas story is like. Remember the time when. The angel visited Mary. Remember the time when Joseph said yes. Remember the time when all they had was an animal feeding trough for the baby. Remember the time when the shepherds and the sheep were the audience for the choir in the sky. Remember the time when the visitors came from the east with gifts and they bowed. Remember the time when Jesus was in danger and they fled from Herod. We have one of those scenes this morning that you heard read. Remember the time Mary went running towards Elizabeth. I happen to love this picture from the Cameroon artists as they attempted to find scenes from the biblical stories that made sense in their part of Africa, the Jesus Muffa Project. Remember the time when. The Bible says that Mary hurried, she ran, she purposefully went, she made haste, and she goes to Elizabeth. She goes because of the prior scene we all know about. Gabriel showed up, walked through a door, and said to her, you'll be highly favored. You're pregnant by God, for God, through God, because of God. You got it? And he left. Would have been nice if he'd stayed a while, yes? Stay while she processes. Stay while Joseph thinks about how to tell his parents. Stay while the community gossips Gabriel. Gabriel left, and Mary ran. Mary ran as far as she could find because the angel's news changed her life. When she gets to Elizabeth's house, this is the story that she knows, but Elizabeth does not. Remember the time when Mary hurried with speed to Elizabeth? Elizabeth is Mary's plan A. When Mary shows up on Elizabeth's door, she's putting all of her money on this cousin, this friend. Elizabeth, who's described in the Bible as righteous, the same language of Joseph last week when Pastor Sam reflected on that story. Elizabeth, who lives with a prophet, Zechariah. Elizabeth, who's been raised in a tradition, a religious tradition. It so happens that Zechariah has lost his voice. The Holy Spirit has his tongue. The house is quiet. And the next prophet, Simeon, we won't see for another chapter or two. So it turns out, as Mary runs to Elizabeth, that the scene is quite still. Usually it's the prophets who announce reality. It's the prophets who tell us if there's any good news. But as Henry Nouwen says, when the paid professionals are silent, the little people talk. I heard someone guess that 720 was the number of pastors we had. I heard you somewhere back there. It is 7.8. When the paid professionals are silent, the little people talk, and now two women and two babies are in the center of the story. Mary pregnant with a Messiah, Elizabeth pregnant with a prophet, one too old to be pregnant, one too young to be trying. This is our story this morning. Remember the time when? The text says that Elizabeth blurted out with a loud voice, Luke chapter 1, verse 42, with a loud voice, she, Elizabeth, blurted out, and this is a sentence I have not really taken seriously in about 20 years of studying carefully the birth stories of Jesus. I don't know how this sentence missed me. Elizabeth blurted. You don't expect something good to come after a blurt, do you? Elizabeth blurted out, do you expect something good to come from a person who's been raised in a religious tradition that's rather strict? Do we expect something good to come from a woman who's been trying all her life to conceive and now comes a little 13-year-old pregnant girl? Do we expect anything good to come from cousin Elizabeth when she knows the stigma and the trauma this will bring Mary? With a loud voice, she blurts out. Dozens of times each day, friends, we have opportunities to blurt out. To blurt out. I remember dating someone, and when I went to the front door to visit, standing in the doorway, very much like Mary and Elizabeth, the father of my date said to me when we opened the door, "Oh, you have a pimple right there." Well, yes, I do. What do you say to that? Because we all get awkward in social situations, right? Sometimes we blurt things out, like my grandmother who visited every Christmas, and after she unloaded all the cookies and the bread and the good stuff when we'd get dressed for church, as we would move towards the door, she would invariably say, "Are you going to church dressed like that?" Right? Or the minister the night before a wedding in our wedding rehearsal, the minister turned to my husband, soon-to-be husband, and said, "You're getting your hair cut before tomorrow, right?" And Kirby said, "Actually, I just cut it yesterday." The minister said, "You should cut it one more time." A minister we dearly loved. Dozens of times, friends, we blurt things out. Am I telling the truth? Sometimes it comes out our lips before it's passed through our conscience, our spirit, our better judgment. Elizabeth's at a moment where she can blurt something out. But can I layer the scene even more carefully? Elizabeth and Mary are not only standing in their stories, they're standing in the middle of God's story. God is also vulnerable here. Mary's scary story is God's scary story. Elizabeth's problematic pregnancy is God's problematic pregnancy. God is vulnerable in this scene because Elizabeth and Mary have real choices of how to respond. And here comes Elizabeth, who's going to blurt something out. Elizabeth, Mary's plan A. She says to Mary, she entered Zechariah's home. Elizabeth greeted her with these words. When she heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. With a loud voice, she blurted out, "God has blessed you, Mary, above all women. God has blessed the child you carry. Why do I, Elizabeth, have the honor of the mother of my Lord who should come to me? As soon as I heard you greeting the holy baby in my womb, it jumped for joy. My baby, that would be John the Baptist. Happy is he, the one who believes that the Lord will fulfill the Lord's promises he made to her." And with those words, Elizabeth creates the necessary welcome. She creates enough of a safe space that whatever happens next, the Bible doesn't narrate, whatever it is, Mary stays a while and she finds her voice. And she figures out how she'll move forward in God's story. I don't want to miss here that Jesus is at home. First, Jesus is at home in our world in the middle of a social scandal. Jesus is at home immediately in an improper environment. Jesus is in a place that would cause most good Christians to blurt something out. Before Jesus will be high, he will be low. The prophet said it would be this way. God comes to us, friends. He comes to us as the people we are, not as the people we're trying to be. And Elizabeth is able to say something like that to Mary that day. Do some things need to change? Absolutely. Is everything perfect? No. Is there a mess in your refrigerator, your car, your closet, your bank account, your emotional state this morning? Absolutely. And still, the blessing Mary gives all of us is that exactly as God finds us today, exactly is how God loves us today. God comes to us as the people we are. The people we are. It's all right with God. Mary's plan A works out because the text says Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's not miss that detail as we close this morning. If we think that means she's saintly or sinless or perfect, oh no, no, no. When we pray for the Holy Spirit in our church, in our homes, in our communities, that's not some external power. When Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit, it means she's opened herself up to possibilities that belong to God. That's what that means, friends. That's the most dangerous prayer we can pray. Do you want the Spirit in your home? Do we want the Spirit in our church? Yes. Then be ready for what we might blurt out. Little kid running down there in the patio a few weeks ago, you know, we started serving cereal and some other things because we want to make sure our college students have food on Sabbath morning. There's a little tribe of guys, I know, right? You can thank the cafe people on your way out. Little tribe of kids who love this cold cereal. It wasn't originally with them in mind, but it's working for them. And one of these little guys a few weeks ago saw me coming down the stairs and sort of in slow motion came running at me, wrapped his legs around my body, and that little milky chin dripping with milk and Honey Nut Cheerios. It was just a big, goobery, wet, sugary goodness. And he threw it all the way around my skirt. I was about to blurt something out. (Laughter) And then I thought, how many times do kids and teenagers and young adults in church go, "Pastor Chris, happy Sabbath!" And I grabbed that kid and mixed all that milk in my material and walked up into the office and thanked God. We have had enough of being a faith community over the generations that blurts things out when the blessing is right there. It was a few years ago when my oldest daughter called and said, "Mom, somebody needs a place to stay and I can't give you very many details. And you guys have bedrooms and we're not there, so I'm thinking you're a really good fit and you know how to keep secrets." And she just kept layering it. And I said, "No, Amanda, no. We're busy. I'll have to clean my refrigerator and my spare bedroom and my car, and there'll have to be groceries in the house. Mom, really? She doesn't have anywhere she can go. She can't go home. She can't go to the apartment where there's the situation. She's used up all of the couches. Mom, seriously." She said "Mom" one too many times, because I imagined that there might be a day when my child needs someone to open their door and greet her at the doorway, and instead of blurting out condemnation and judgment, would simply blurt out a blessing and offer her a welcome. And on that urge alone, I said, "Absolutely." Friends, the Christmas story is stacked with suspicious, crazy details. That virgins conceive is one of them. But the story is also packed with these quiet moments of a different kind of overwhelming paradox. That Joseph would obey. That Elizabeth would blurt out a blessing. There are times like that in the story. Remember the time when? Yeah. May it be so in your homes and in the church and in the community this week. In the name of God, our Creator, Jesus, our Redeemer, the Holy Spirit, a very risky guide. Amen.